Gather around the scriptures. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And as you turn there, let me pray for us. Father, we've said it before, but we honestly cannot say enough how thankful and grateful we are for your goodness. We're grateful to have been loved by you, called according to your purpose. Father, we're grateful for the mercies that you extend towards us personally. And Lord, we are, as we gather here this morning, just grateful for the things that you've done in our midst. We acknowledge that life has all sorts of seasons, mountaintops and valleys and struggles and trials and victories and everything in between. But we thank you for that undergirding reality of your faithfulness, of your love for us, and for that reality that you place us in family. What a privilege it is to do life with you leading, but with others by our side. And may we be the people that you've called us to be, that you've called all followers of Christ to be, a people who are known by their love for you, by the way we love one another. And may we be a people who go forth to boldly proclaim, share, and declare in our actions as much as our words, the glorious gospel, the good news that you are who you said you are, and you came to do what you said you came to do. Our Savior and our Lord, we honor you, we look to you this morning. Come and have your way afresh. Encourage your hearts, stir our hearts afresh to know you and love you more, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, I want to do just a few things this morning. Often I say it's not a sermon. The problem is I do sermonettes very badly, as those who are around will know. But I want to endeavor just to very briefly encourage us, and then, as I said, show this testimony video that we have put together. But there's moments in life, I don't know about you guys, but this is always quite a busy time of year. So we had, as a family, things on every night of the week, different end-of-year functions, some normal and regular activities, as well as all of the extra ones that happen this particular time of year. It's a busy time, all good things. And I think we often used to think of when we had younger kids, we're really looking forward to getting through this busy phase when the pace of life can settle down. Well, we're still waiting for that, even as the kids grow up. But we had a busy week, and I had this moment. It seems to be happening more regularly than I'd like, but I was driving in the car, and I just needed a schedule for the day, not even the week. I said, just give me the days, where I'm supposed to be, who I'm supposed to be dropping off where for the different functions and events. I don't know whether you have this. And I was in the car, I was driving, I dropped some kid off somewhere, and I was on the way, and I got halfway to where I thought I was going, and then all of a sudden I'm like, where am I going? What am I doing? What day of the week is it? It wasn't quite that bad. Do you have those moments? Call it a senior's moment, where you got to stop. And I literally had to intentionally pull the car over to think, where am I? Where have I been? And where am I now going in the crazy busy week that we had? And so that's really what I want to do this morning. I want us to just take that moment to kind of pause and reflect and think, well, where are we? Where have we been? Where are we going? Now, as a church family, we've been in the book of Hebrews. So I know that for those who've been around, we've covered this particular portion of Scripture and this passage. But I want to go back there just to kind of highlight some things, bring a few out, and then focus us on the goodness of God to us this year. So Hebrews 10, verse 19, let's read together. And the writer says this, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, someone say we have confidence. Thank you for those three at the front row. That's great. We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that's opened up for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. And in fact, for those who were here on the very first Sunday of the year, I use this passage, preached from this passage, as kind of our theme text. And what I hoped has come through as we've journeyed through this book, and I know we've been a few other places, is this is an incredible portion of Scripture written to people who were somewhat discouraged. They were disillusioned. There'd been hardship, there'd been persecution, there'd been things that had been coming against this particular group of believers. And the writer does primarily two things. From the very beginning, he tries to draw their attention back to Jesus. He says, Jesus is the one. You've got to fix your eyes upon him. You've got to remember who he is and what he's done. Without him, you are nothing. And if he's not leading you, you're not going to get anywhere fast. He draws their attention back to Jesus. And even in this particular passage here, we see that exhortation, therefore, because of what Jesus has done, because of who he is, everything flows from that place. And so we're going to talk about some encouraging testimonies. We're going to celebrate some of the aspects of ministry. But I want to emphasize that again and underline it and bring that before us. May we never forget that all that we do is about him. First and foremost, gathering to know him, proclaiming his name, celebrating what he has done. The gospel is the good news of him, not the good news of us and what we have done and what we is gathering together to make known Jesus, to put his name in lights. Francis Chan, he tells this great story of, I forget how many kids he has. I think he might be part Catholic. Sorry for that pun, but he's had 7, 8, 9 kids. I'm not quite sure, but he had one of his girls was having a birthday party, and so they sat down to plan this particular event. And this girl, she said to him, Daddy, this year I want to go really big for my birthday party. I want to have jumping castles, I'm going to have clowns, and I want to have food and fairy floss and entertainment. I want to do absolutely everything. And so Francis says to his little girl, she said, well, that's great, sweetheart. And how many kids do you think will come to your party if you're hosting and having all these things? And she's like, I think everybody will come. The whole school will come. Like, everybody will want to come to my party. And he said, okay, well, he's thinking through this, you know, working with her. And he says, well, what about if we had a party and it was just you and a cake? Say, come along, it's my birthday. I want you to celebrate me, but taking away all the trappings, and it'll just be me and a cake. He said, how many people do you think would come? She thought about it for a moment. She's like, I don't think anyone will come. And so he said to her, he said, well, do you think people are actually coming for you, or are they coming for all of the trappings? And I think so often in the church, we get caught up in the trappings. And we could come even to a Thanksgiving service and say, well, thank you, Lord, for all the programs we've run, for all the things we've done. But my heart is that we would all always be a church that's built on that foundation and that pursuit of one thing, of pursuing him and of making him known. Even if that means we draw everything back and we say, look, come along. There's just a birthday cake and Jesus, but that's why we gather, yeah? We gather for him. He's the reason that we come together. He's the one that we're pursuing with everything, and everything that we do flows out from that single pursuit. So first part says, therefore, because of who Jesus is and what he's done, everything's changed, and that is the motivation and the reason for all that we do. So let's draw near with a true heart and sprinkled clean, washed in his blood. Let's hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, because he's faithful. It all comes from that motivation. But he goes on, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us gather together. Let us never lose the significance and the importance of gathering together corporately. See, what is it that comes to mind when you hear the word church? And perhaps you can do a poll this week. Maybe it'd be different groups of your family or friends who would suggest different things. But most of us would say, well, it's perhaps a building. Others, depending on who you ask, say, well, it's an institution. You know, it's an organized thing. It's this kind of broader institutionalized group. Some people might say, well, it's programs, it's services, it's meeting, it's all these different bits and pieces. But I think sometimes we reduce church. Sometimes we lose sight of the true essence of what it is that we're called to do. Ephesians 1, you don't need to turn there, but the Apostle Paul, he writes this incredible book about the work of Christ, about who Jesus is and what he's done. And there's this reference in there in Ephesians 1 verse 22, and it says, "And he being Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." See, the point there is this fullness, this radical reality of God's purposes and plans of redemption as he comes and as he commissions a people to proclaim his name, that it would come in this package through his people. The church is God's plan for the unfolding of his redemption on the earth. And it's his only plan. And it will forever be his plan until he returns again to establish his kingdom fully on the earth. And that word there, church, is literally the ecclesia. It's people who are called out from and people who are called together for. Out of darkness, into the light, rescued and redeemed, but called together for a purpose. He's given us a purpose. He goes on to be his body. Romans 12:5 talks about the church being one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4:12, Hebrews 13:3 talks about the church being equated literally with the body of Christ. Not an organization, but the living, breathing reality, if you like, of God's purposes and his plan on the earth. He loves the church. It's fascinating to me that if you read Acts 9, as Saul, who becomes Paul, he's persecuting the church. He got permission from the Jewish elders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees at that time, to go and literally drag Christians out of their home and imprison them and torture them and do all sorts of things. And Jesus encounters him, literally knocks him off his horse, appears to him in his light. He sees and hears the audible voice and the reality of Christ himself, and Jesus speaks to him and says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Now he's persecuting believers, but he doesn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people?" He is so connected, literally, he's like, "It's me, it's my body, it's my people, it's my bride." I think this is not the message, but we've got to be so careful with our criticism of other believers and other churches. We've got to. I mean, it's almost become a sport to tear down other ministries. Now, obviously, we need to be discerning, particularly in this age. We need to address issues. I'm not saying that we just gloss over stuff, but it's the heart that it comes from. Does it really come from a heart of love and restoration and recognizing that God loves the church? He died for the church. He purchased and redeemed not the organization, not the building, but the people, the called out ones, the ecclesia. He says, Jesus himself, he says, "As you gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of you." You know what he doesn't say? Now, as you gather and find the best YouTube worship video, as you follow your favorite Bible teacher on Spotify, those things are great. There's nothing wrong with YouTube videos. But that's not the promise of Christ. He's saying, remember, therefore, the reality of the people of God gathered together corporately. And I know that you're here this morning, so I'm preaching to the choir. I thought there might be a few more amens in the choir, but that's all right. We'll keep going. See, we are the people of God who gather together with a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. We're not simply a club. We're called together to bear witness to his name, to give a glimpse of God's redeeming and restoring nature, a taste of the kingdom, a vision of how things ought to be in a world distorted by sin, and to love a world back to life, to see broken lives rescued, restored, and redeemed. That's what he died for. That's what he paid for. And that's the mission that we get to play our little role in this corner of Canberra, Fishwick, in 2024. Someone say amen. I'm going to stop preaching now. I promise. What I want to do is just give some reflections with those reminders in mind about who we are and what we're called to do. How do we do that? Well, we do that as we gather on Sunday. And again, sometimes I think we undervalue the corporate expression of the church. We undervalue what it actually means to gather. From the very beginning, as God created everything, He established the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a day of rest from work, but it was a day of worship. It was a day where the people of God would gather together corporately to seek the Lord. It's within the context of the gathered church that Jesus says, He says, it's the way that you love one another that the world will know you're my disciples. It's the way that we're sharpened, convicted, and corrected. It's the way that we are contributing in our gifts. Scriptures say that God gives to us gifts, but they're for the use, not for the building up of our own ministry. It's not Andrew Baker ministry. That's not the goal and desire. It's gifts given for the equipping of the church. It's for use within the body of Christ. That's how we serve. You cannot be disconnected. And how many people do we see? I'm sure you're the same. You come across people all the time. They're like, well, I'm just going to do my own church. I'm like, it doesn't work. You can do your own stuff. Just don't call it church. That's not what church is. Church is this unique, called out group of people that Christ, through His love, He places in community and family, and they come together to love and to serve and to make known the glorious riches of Christ that He extends towards us. So we do that as we gather. Something that's encouraged me beyond our physical gathering in terms of reflection this year, as I've loved, you know, we always had a sense as a church right from very early on that one of the callings from the Lord is that we would be a lighthouse. There's a picture, you can see it in the cafe there, illustrated. That was one of the ways that we believed He was going to use us. And so we thought there was a real sense of the Lord and almost a sense of irony when 4 years ago we purchased this, our first building. And for the 30 years prior, it had been a lighting shop. It had sold lights. And so we had for the first couple of years, even though we changed the signs, we had people turning up, walking in the door. They'd come right in. It looks nothing like a lighting store, but they'd say, oh, do you still sell lights? We say, well, we don't sell lights, but we can point you towards the true light, the true and real light. But it's kind of been amazing to see how the Lord's used that with this prominent corner. It's one of the busiest intersections in our city, and we very intentionally put a gospel message, a big cross, and John 3:16 emblazoned for all the city to see. And God's used that both to offend some neighbors who came to give some constructive feedback on the big sign in the neighborhood, but also to bring people for Himself. And in fact, in the videos, you'll hear of a guy just this year, and it was that sign driving past that confronted, convicted. He came eventually to church on a Sunday and then came forward and surrendered his life to Christ. It's been a great blessing to see the way this building has been used, not just for our purposes, but we have Canberra's one and only Christian radio station that broadcasts from upstairs. It's a great blessing to be able to support them in their work. We have a number of other congregations who use this facility, some on a weekly basis. We've got another one that we believe may start up Sunday afternoons next year. We've hosted prayer gatherings, breakfasts, conferences, and everything that we've hosted, we've done completely for free. We do not charge. If there is a group of people who want to use our facility that God's blessed us with for His glory, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Jesus-honoring people, they come in absolutely free of charge, which to me should be the way it works. It just should. As I've said publicly, I'm a terrible businessman. Because I just want to give everything away for free. Freely you've received, freely give. But it is, a lot of people are taken aback. They said, really? There is no charge. If you're here and you're using it for kingdom purposes, we are a part of the kingdom of God. And we want to support you and honor you in whatever it is that you do. We did for this year, for the very first time, we conducted a church survey. I won't ask a show of hands for how many people responded, but there was a bunch. I think we had just under 100, and a lot of people were filling in for their... Some ladies said deliberately, I'm filling this in for my husband. So thank you for the ladies who filled in on behalf of their husbands also. Some for families as well. So obviously it represents a larger spread than just the number of 100. But it was fascinating to me to see that we are a really interesting group of people. We have always had a great age spread, which I'm thankful for. And we've got a spread of length of time that people have been here. So there was around about a third of the people who filled in the survey, which is probably relatively close to representing the whole church statistics. But there was a third that have been here less than 4 years. And there was a third or 35% that have been here for more than 20 years, which is more than me. So I'm super thankful for the new growth, for the new people. There's a lot of new people that have come in the last few years. And I'm super thankful for those steadfast foundations of the church that have stuck longer than I have, been here before me, and probably will be here after me, but they've been a foundation of the church. They have stuck there through seasons and ups and downs and everything else and faithfully persevered to see this church be what it is. This year we started up some church family hubs. We had, of the survey, there was 80% of the people who filled in the survey who said that they'd attended a church hub. And the whole idea there was to have this sense of church is great as we gather corporately. It's so important. We've talked about that. And we do have some gatherings as a whole church once a month. We do a barbecue, as we'll do in similar fashion today. We get together, we try and connect. But when you get a big church, we need something more than just a Sunday corporate gathering if we're really going to fulfill this command to love one another. So the idea was, let's do something on a Sunday once a month where we do church and then see church flowing from a corporate gathering to around the table. If you read through the Gospels, as one theologian put it, there's very few moments that you see Jesus not around the table with fellow believers. It was, I think you think of Jesus as preaching to the crowds, and he did that. Or maybe in the temple, cleansing the temple, public ministry. He certainly did that. But there was a large part of what he did and who he was that was in intimate circles. Communions, we just celebrated. That was a meal with his disciples. So much happened around the table, bringing the church not just in the corporate, not just together in a corporate sense, but gathering around the table to truly love one another. And I was going to say, 80% of people who filled in the survey, that's probably representative of the church. You're never going to find something that works for everybody. I understand that. And I remember probably this time last year, as we were planning to start the church hubs, I had a chat to a good friend of mine who pastors one of the biggest Pentecostal ACC churches in the city. And I said to him, you know, just picking his brain, what do you do? How do you do it? I said, how many people do you have engaged in any sort of non-corporate service, like midweek fellowship groups? And he gave me a number straight away. I think it was like 31.3%. I said, how do you know that? He's like, oh, we track everything. We know when people come and leave. We know how much money they give. We know exactly who's attended what group. Like, we record all the attendance. I thought, gosh, sign me up. How do we get one of those? That was a joke. Bad joke. Tough crowd. Different church models are, you know, horses for courses. That's not us in our flavor. But he said, honestly, 30%, if you get 30 to 40% engaged in any kind of non-service midweek gathering, then you are above average. So for us to have 80% of our church that was connected in those church hubs was super encouraging. It really was. So thank you to those who participated. All the hub leaders we got together a couple of weeks back, they were encouraged. They said, yeah, we want to really build upon this into next year. And really seeing that as being kind of the skeletal structure. We're a church as well that comes from all corners of the city. And so having these groups that we, because of the interest, were able to set up all around the city and have people in their little local areas gathering together. A lot of them were used very effectively to care for people in their groups, do meals, etc., etc. Super encouraging. That left the middle of our weeks free to run some different discipleship courses and really seeing kind of our midweek group, given that the Sundays are gathering together relationally, seeing the midweek as that way that we can encourage, we can disciple, we can stir one another up intentionally and equipping the saints, as Ephesians 4:11 talks about, for the works of the ministry. And in the interest of time, I might skip through those. I'll mention one more thing, just to give a bit of a report, and then we'll show the video with some testimonies. And these are all ways, what I'm trying to get across here is these are ways that we see ourselves trying to intentionally fulfill the call that God has upon our lives. So we do that as we gather together corporately. We do that as we gather in smaller groups, both for relational connection as well as intentional discipleship. And we do that in our outreach as we intentionally minister to the community around us. And in fact, I totally forgot in the notices to mention that we have the opportunity this morning to partner with Angel Tree. For those who don't know what that is, it's a prison ministry that provides presence for children. And so if you would like to, there is a tree in the foyer and you can pick up a particular tag which will have the details of a kid that you can bless who otherwise would get no gifts for Christmas. We do the same thing with the caravan park across the way here, and we contact them each year and they give us a list of kids and ages as well. I don't think we've heard back yet, have we, specifics, so we'll let you know if we can be a part of that as well. But one of the main outreaches we do is our community meals, which we started up a few years ago, which was a response just to the need in our own community to provide a free meal for people either living on the street, some people who were members of the church, they're welcome to come too. And then obviously just across the way is a caravan park, which is one of the poor areas of our city. And so that started off, you know, relatively small. It's grown year on year. So we now get somewhere around 40 to 70 people that we feed every week. So if you do the sums there, it's in the vicinity of 3,000 meals that we've served over the past year. I think that just... That's just the hot meals. That's not the frozen meals that people come for as well, the food pantry. In fact, we, a few months back, put someone on staff just for the community meal, just a day a week, to try and coordinate and manage that given to the increasing demand. At that meal as well, we partner with Orange Sky that does free washing for people, so they come along every week. And this year, for the first time, we had the local government contact us. I thought this was great. And they said... you guys are the biggest free community meal provider in your area, one of the biggest in the city. Would you mind, this is prior to the ACT election, they said, could we come and set up a mobile polling booth at your meal to try and capture some of those people that are either homeless or otherwise wouldn't be able to vote and participate in the election? So we said, sure, why not? So they came along, set up a mobile polling booth. I don't know if it'll be a one-off event, but encouraging that, you know, when the city around you is saying, look, could we get in on what it is that you guys are doing, that's the moment to give thanks to the Lord for what he's doing there. We've seen, you know, we don't overtly preach the gospel at those meals. It's an opportunity primarily to love people, but we have seen a number of people end up in church, some staying, some just checking it out from time to time. We've seen some salvations as well. In fact, one of the testimonies you'll see in the video is from a lady, and that was her avenue in, to come for a meal, and as she describes, to find a family and then reconnect with the Lord, and then she got baptized and just dramatically transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many other things that I could mention, from the youth, which you'll see in the video, the Vision Kids, young adults, mums, groups, outreach, mission trips, prison ministry, and I won't even try and mention them because I'll leave some out, as I do every year, and in fact, often we do thank yous. But could we just do, before we show the video, I would love to just publicly honour anybody and everybody that has served in any capacity in our church. And it is a small army of volunteers that make everything function the way it does. And I know a bunch of them are out and missing out on this thankfulness as they prepare for the barbecue and our fellowship after this. But could we just thank everybody for their commitment this year in whatever way? If we're ready to show the video, then let's do that. I think it's about a 10-minute video, and then we're going to stand and celebrate and sing a song and then enjoy some fellowship.